Here's something you probably haven't thought about. Men will drive an extra 900 miles over their lifetime simply because they won't ask for directions. It sounds almost comical until you realize what it represents, a profound inability to show vulnerability in any form. When the American Psychological Association issued its first ever guidelines for treating men, warning that traditional masculinity ideology harms men's mental and physical health, it wasn't just an American observation. From China's straight man cancer to Iceland's poisonous masculinity, cultures worldwide are waking up to a disturbing reality. The same system oppressing women is simultaneously crushing men under impossible expectations. Ask a woman what's difficult about being female, and she'll launch into detailed reflections. Ask a man the same question about manhood, and you'll likely get bewildered silence. This blind spot isn't accidental. It's built into how we understand masculinity itself. Gender isn't just something we are, it's something we do. Sociologists call it performing gender. Imagine daily life as a stage where we follow scripts assigned before birth, rewarded for conformity, and punished for deviation. For men, this performance is particularly exhausting because masculinity must constantly be proven. Women can adopt masculine traits while maintaining femininity, but masculinity operates under rigid rules, requiring constant self-regulation. Most men don't actually feel like real men. Masculinity feels less like an identity and more like a reward earned through excruciating circumstances. This precarious manhood appears everywhere. Research shows men eat 93% more pizza when women are present, unconscious, conspicuous eating to establish dominance. When masculinity feels threatened, men employ compensatory tactics, lying about height, displaying aggression, harassing women. Any deviation triggers homophobic policing. Dancing, sitting a certain way, showing emotion becomes suspect. There's a pervasive masculinity moral panic, a fear that men are being feminized. Jordan Peterson achieved bestseller status by tapping into this anxiety, advising men to say only those things that make you strong and avoid being a girly man. Men and women share far more psychological similarities than differences. Janet Shibley Hyde's research, analyzing 46 meta-analyses, found minimal gender differences. Most revealing, when subjects believed their gender wouldn't be identified, men acted more passively while women became more aggressive, suggesting social expectations heavily restrict our behavior. We've rejected biological determinism for women, yet still accept it for men, particularly regarding testosterone. Research shows testosterone primarily motivates status seeking, not aggression. Men's testosterone rises during chess matches despite no physical aggression. German research found men given testosterone were actually more honest and less likely to cheat. As neuroscientist Lise Eliot explains, people say men are from Mars and women are from Venus, but the brain is a unisex organ. The ultimate irony? Those instructing men to be tough simultaneously suggest men are victims of their brain wiring and can't change. The myth that men only want sex while women crave intimacy harms both genders. Women get shamed for wanting sex, men for seeking intimacy. Sex workers report their job involves more emotional labor than physical work, with clients seeking connection and someone who listens. The booming cuddle industry primarily serves straight men in their 50s, revealing how traditional masculinity pressures men to focus on quantity over quality. Sex becomes something to get from women rather than give to them, with adequacy measured by performance over intimacy. When society's expectations are built on myths, they create impossible standards, generating profound shame. Men feel ashamed for not meeting masculine ideals, then feel additional shame for experiencing those emotions, a male shame spiral. Many men lack basic emotional vocabulary. As one man admitted, "When my wife asks how I feel, I lack even basic vocabulary beyond frustrated, bored, or yeah, I like that." This suppression has serious consequences. Men's fear of emotion correlates with increased aggression and hostility. shame expert Brené Brown defines shame as fundamentally about fear of disconnection. While humans are hardwired for connection, shame convinces us to hide parts of ourselves. The intersection of masculinity and shame becomes devastatingly clear in homelessness. Single men represent 51% of homeless individuals, yet there's shockingly little research on why. Many avoid reaching out due to shame, with "I feel dirty" being the most common reason they decline help. Women are increasingly frustrated with emotionally unavailable men, deleting dating apps, buying homes alone, even wearing shirts reading, "Sadly, still straight." Many wives feel like rehab centers for husbands who refuse therapy or emotional growth. Research shows men have emotional abilities, but practice them less because society punishes vulnerable boys. University of Virginia research on 5,000 heterosexual couples found women were most satisfied when partners were emotionally engaged. Feeling understood and connected was the strongest predictor of happiness. Unlike previous generations, today's women refuse to tolerate emotionally deficient relationships. With greater education and financial independence, they can walk away. Therapists report the most common problem in couples therapy: men focusing on being right rather than listening to their partner's emotions. Queer relationships often function better without predetermined gender roles. Same-sex couples report higher satisfaction and less conflict due to equitable domestic arrangements and greater social connectedness. The buffer urinal between men reveals how men negotiate intimacy in social spaces. Yet, maintaining close friendships extends men's lives significantly, more protective against early death than avoiding smoking. The Harvard study following 724 men for 78 years found meaningful relationships were the strongest predictor of longevity. Research on Sardinia, where men live as long as women, revealed strong community connections were responsible for men's extended lifespans. Friendship requires active maintenance, not passive possession. Like Emily Dickinson wrote, "My friends are my estate. They become the house you live in, demanding proper care." Despite outward claims of comfort with shifting gender roles, millennial men are privately anxious about women's economic gains. More young men today believe in the male breadwinner model than in 1994, and they're less likely than previous generations to believe working mothers can maintain warm relationships with children. This resistance exists because while society updated what it means to be a woman, it hasn't provided men with alternative models of masculinity beyond the provider role. When surveyed, men overwhelmingly preferred identifying as parent over provider, noting how the latter historically undervalued women and now unfairly diminishes stay-at-home fathers. Society maintains double standards. Media celebrates awesome dads for basic tasks while harshly mom-shaming. Denmark demonstrates progress. Fathers receive 2 weeks paid leave plus up to a year off, with non-transferable quotas that have fundamentally shifted workplace expectations. When Michael Kimmel asks men to describe a good man, they mention integrity, honor, responsibility, caring. But asked about a real man, they shout contradictory qualities: never cry, be strong, hide feelings, win at all costs. This reveals the fundamental conflict. Pressure to be a real man undermines capacity to be a good man. The world increasingly values traditionally feminine skills like emotional intelligence, now recognized as nearly twice as important as IQ for success. Mindful masculinity offers a solution: becoming conscious of internal dialogue, examining which masculine traits serve us. The path forward isn't destroying masculinity, but reimagining it, creating space for men to be both strong and vulnerable, both providers and nurturers.